Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. And joining me in the studio today, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. And got some post-Christmas poetry for you as soon as we come back from this little short break here.
Thank you for taking my call.
Great to talk to you. I've listened to the program for over a decade.
How are you today?
I'm surviving.
No, well, let me ask you this. Are you having sex with her? Now, that's just not hard to answer. It's either yes
well,
or no.
Well, I think the answer's obvious.
They simply want you to drop into a system of order which acknowledges who they think they are.
This is a big problem in our church. People get one verse and they make a religion out of it. So you got that passage in Ephesians, and you look at that, and all of a sudden, you're going to be drinking Kool-Aid on an island somewhere because you got one verse theology.
Reflect back her feelings and let her sit with them.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Happy after Merry Christmas to you. Steve Arterburn here with my... No, I'm sorry. Dave Stoop and Jill Hubbard. How are you guys doing?
Yes, good, we're here. Good.
Well, you know what? I have a corny poem to read, and and so I was thinking about Mylan because it's kind of corny.
Because he's the king of corn?
That's right. Mm-hmm. So here we go. All right, here it is. 'Twas the day after Christmas. 'Twas the day after Christmas, and all through the house, every creature was hurting, even the mouse. Toys already broken, their batteries dead. Santa passed out with some ice on his head. Wrapping and ribbons just covered the floor while upstairs the family continued to snore. And I, in my T-shirt, new Nikes and jeans, I went into the kitchen and started to clean. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the sink to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the curtains and threw up the sash, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a little white truck with an oversized mirror. The driver was smiling so lively and grand, the patch on his jacket said U.S. Postman. With a handful of bills, he grinned like a fox, then quickly he stuffed them into our mailbox. Bill after bill after bill they still came, whistling and shouting, he called them by name. Now Nordstrom, now Walmart, now Pottery Barn, now Target and Macy's, now Bed Bath and Beyond. To the tip of your limit, every store, every mall. Now charge away, charge away, charge away all. He whooped and he whistled and he finished his work. He filled up the box, then turned with a jerk. He sprang to his truck and he drove down the road, driving much faster with just half a load. Then I heard him exclaim with great holiday cheer, "Enjoy what you bought. You'll be paying all year." There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
That's great.
That is great. That is.
How long did it take you to write that, Steve?
Well, you know what? I didn't write all of it. I did heavy editing there. And, so anyway, I'm really, really glad that
good stuff.
We're able
explains
to make
it
light
all
Christmas a little bit. I was with my father-in-law this weekend, and he was telling me how he related the Christmas tree to Jesus. I thought it was really neat. Hmm. Cut down in the prime of life. Have you ever heard that before?
No. Huh?
Cut down in the prime of life, laying dormant for a while, and, you know, like at the store, all wrapped up in the netting and whatever, or shipped, and then brought back to life again with lights and decorations and all. And it goes on beyond that. But I thought that was really an amazing parallel, cut down in the prime of life. That's why they always had a live Christmas tree. Well, you are listening to New Life Live. I'm not the only one that talks here. The other guys do sometimes. And we're going to get to that talk right after this. 1-800-229-3000. We'll go right to the calls when we come back from this break. Glad you're with us today, by the way, here on New Life. And if you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000, as I said. Or if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and our website is newlife.com, newlife.com. And we're going to be asking you to help us with a matching gift. We have a new matching gift, and I'll tell you about that later on in the hour. But for right now, let's go to break.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back, and I said I would go right to the phones, and let's go to Fred from Ventura, California, KKLA. Hi, Fred.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Listen, I'm going to get right to the question, and we have a teenage foster kid that lives with my mother, and she's been very rebellious, and I want to know, I'll get some advice from you as far as what we should do with this young girl. So that's my question.
Okay, She's 14.
And
what's she doing?
Yes, she's been very rebellious for the last 2 years now, where she doesn't want to, you know, listen to my mother. She's, you know, not wanting to go to church, and I'm okay with that because I understand that Jesus didn't force himself on nobody, but she doesn't come home on time, you know, when she says she's going to come home. My mom lets her participate in sports and school, and, you know, she kind of lies about where she's at, and she doesn't help around the house. And we just recently found out about a week ago that she's actually, you know, having sexual intercourse with another kid.
Mm-hmm. How did you find that out?
Well, because what happened was she was reading these books that my mom didn't agree with, and my brother, asked her to show him the books, and it was some books that were very questionable literature, and my mom asked my brother to take away her phone, and when my brother took away her phone, he actually looked at some of her texts, and that's where it was discovered. It was very explicit. And when we found out about that, we all talked to her about that, and she couldn't deny it anymore. And so my mom, my brother, and I, we made the decision that, you know, for right now, it would be best if she went and stayed with a mutual friend. Because I don't think I've shared this with you yet, but she's been with my mother since she was 5 years old. She's a foster kid, mm-hmm. and my mom took legal guardianship of her. And now it's to the point where she's just out of control, you know, okay. and she doesn't want to listen. And we've asked her, hey, look, this is your home. You know, we want you to know that, but you need to change your behavior. Right. And you can't see this person anymore, and she's not willing to do that. And so yeah. my question is, what do I do? You know, what do we do with her?
Well, yeah, Dave, you have a thought here. You've, yeah. You've raised a few of these.
That's a tough situation, and it's a tough situation because it's a foster child who, you know, those first 5 years, you really don't know what went on in terms of abandonment, of abuse, of neglect, and all of that. And
or what she inherited, right?
That's right, what came in the package, mm-hmm. yes. And when they hit that age, I guess you got to choose your battles, Fred, and your mom has to really choose her battles and figure out what really matters to her. If you can, if something really is important to her, then you can negotiate on that. But if nothing, you know, a lot of times a kid like that, you know, it's like you can take this away, you can take that away, and they don't really care because they, you know, they're...
They lost everything anyway.
Yeah.
A lot of times, so it doesn't matter.
It's a tough one.
Well, and once a child has proven that they cannot handle being alone, that they're irresponsible when they're unsupervised, it's very tough if you do anything to allow them unsupervised time. It's almost like endorsing whatever they do.
Right.
Then you become a captive of them. Too.
Well, right. And so it's you have to find a way to minimize the power struggles, to just kind of step out of that dance. And, you know, I really believe in trying to put it back on the kid in terms of, you know, their behavior, their choices dictate what they get, how much freedom they get. That really the ticket to freedom is through learning to cooperate and abide by some minimal guidelines, at least. And so when they are acting out, okay, it means something. And so you want to figure out, okay, what does this mean about you? And one of the things that you would have to interpret is that she's needing more of all of you because of her inability to, you know, do things on her own. And do things, you know, that are not destructive for her. So to even tell her, you're, you know, what we're seeing in your behavior is that you want us to be around you even more. You're not ready to really be grown up. So you need us to come along and just really be with you and hang out with you and, you know.
Which is really what she doesn't want.
Yes, exactly.
We interpret it that way, and she'll deny that.
But you know, it's like you want her to learn the game is that you have to go along with things. That's what being an adult eventually is. You have to abide. You have to conform to a degree to fit into society.
Well, and I think the other thing is, I think you have to have the talk with her that, you know, if you can't abide by the rules here, and if consequences don't change your behavior and your attitude, then it's probably not going to work here.
Right.
Well, that's a touchy thing.
That is, because this is a kid who's already been abandoned, and a lot of times they push to see how far can I push you before you'll leave.
Right. And that's why you have to have the other side of that, which is really going after the child emotionally, spiritually, loving them beyond anything anybody else could do. But I think you have to share with them what you're trying to do. You're trying to change their behavior, and you don't want to be ineffective in helping alter their behavior.
Well, and I think, too, to kind of play the movie forward and let them know that if they want to destroy these relationships, they're capable of doing that.
Right.
Everybody is. Even a natural child is.
That I'm hanging in here, but the choice is yours. If you want to break with us and just kind of...
If you want to prove that we can't handle you.
You're not abandoning her. She's the one that's walking away.
Right. You're saying with everything you do, you're saying, I don't like it here.
Right.
Now, if you can change a few things, and we're not expecting a miraculous overnight transformation, but if you can change a few things as we go here, then phone comes back, freedom comes back, things start to happen again. What about her potential for pregnancy? What is your mom doing there?
Well, she hasn't been in my mother's home since we found out about this, we're still trying to figure out what we're going to do. And
where is she?
So, yes, right now she's at a mutual friend's who's part of the foster care system. She's like a big sister type of person. And so she's staying at her house, and she did go take her to go get checked out, you know, and... My whole thing, guys, is that we're really like confused about all this because, you know, she's part of our family. I mean, I have three girls which are pretty close in age, and she comes over and she stays a night, and I mean, she's part of our family,
right?
You know? And it really hurt my kids when they found out the decision that we had to make as far as taking her out for right now. I mean, they were broken. And
does she know that? Does she know how your kids are reacting?
I don't know if she does just yet. Because
she should.
She should know that, yeah.
And you should have the same kind of talk with your girls so that she knows that she's not the only one that's proved, you know, if anybody is continuing to rebel and do rebellious things, they're essentially saying, I don't want to be here. It should be for your own daughters, too.
Well, yeah.
I did it for my daughter, and I think, you know, it gave her an excuse to tell other people. And maybe your 14-year-old, this 14-year-old can say, hey, if I don't change a little bit, they're going to, you know, they're going to send me away, is the way she would say it. And that might be an excuse for her to change a few things with her friends. These people are crazy. They want me to be a certain way, so I've got to change this. I've got to do this differently, or otherwise I won't be around at all.
Right. So here's my final question to you guys now. If she is not willing to change, because the conversation that my mom had with her, actually, she said she wasn't going to leave this young man, and she wasn't apologizing for anything that she did. So if she has that same attitude, would it be wrong for us to just say, you know what, like you said, Steve, we're not abandoning you. You're making this choice, so it's probably best that we...
No, I think that would be wrong, because you haven't had any consequences up until this point.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have a system that she's abiding by. Essentially, I rebel, nobody does anything about it. And then, all of a sudden, you're out the door. You want to say, we've got to implement a new system here. And that system has consequences. Because we want you to be here. We want you to change to be here. That's different than just talking with her and saying, well, since you had sex, you can't be with us.
Right. No. What I hadn't told you guys is, I've had this talk with her before. Not about the sexual intercourse, but about her behavior. You know, about her, you know, being more obedient to my mom and helping out around the house. So we've had these types of conversations before, but...
Okay, but Fred, here's the conversation I imagine, is that you say, you know, we're really confused. You're part of the family. We love you. My kids love you. My kids are all upset. You're acting in a way that says, I don't care about you people anymore. And I don't understand that. Help me understand what's going on in you, and see if you can get her to talk to you about some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Got to slow it way down, and
this isn't just about having sex.
No. It's a rebellious thing that's saying.
But it's also meeting a need in her.
Yeah, of love.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because she had sex doesn't mean that you've lost this war here.
Right.
Right.
You lost that battle.
No, don't make it about sex. It's a bigger issue in the rebelliousness.
Right.
You're saying, by the way you're talking to your mom, you know, the way you're treating all of us, you're saying, I don't want to be here. I'm sick of you people. And we're really confused because we don't feel that way.
And so, my girls are sick because... they feel this, that you don't care about them, and they're upset, and so that she and you tell her that you love her, and that you refer to her as part of your family.
Yeah, you want to treat her like you would if this were one of your daughters.
Yeah.
Right?
You wouldn't say to one of your own daughters, okay, we're done with you.
You've had sex. Goodbye.
No, but you might send her to live with a cousin or an aunt. Yes. That's,
right, or
a
in
different
a treatment,
part of the town. Yeah.
Or, you know.
Or you would put her in a treatment program or a live-in place where, you know, it's, you know, like a school or an academy where they deal with troubled kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you would spend more time with her.
That's fun.
The thing is that, you know, when she was practically here every weekend at my home, you know, whenever the kids ain't in school, you know, she was here. And so, I mean, I don't know, you know.
It's not easy, as you said in the very beginning. And so you do the very best that you can.
And
Well, and I don't know how much they train your mom within the foster care system. That's a ministry, and you have to be willing to fail as well as succeed, because mm-hmm. you don't know what you're getting.
And
you do the best you can, and you love them, and hopefully at some point she comes back around and becomes part of the family again. But you've got to see that this is a tough job.
Right.
Anyway.
She's 14, but then she has the added baggage.
Yeah.
And you can't let that system neuter you mm-hmm. completely and have no power or control over her.
Right.
There has to be an end game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't end with goodbye, you're out of here. It ends with, let's see what additional help that we can get since you haven't really responded. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk with Lana, and we'll do that right after this.
Before coming to Healing is a Choice, I was completely worn out.
I, coming here, was an empty shell.
I don't want people to think that you have to be just desperate to come. It's for people who don't know what to do next.
To open up to 8 different strangers was actually a relief. And so much got off my shoulders. And I feel so much lighter now. And I feel so much better. And I feel like I can give so much more to other people. And I don't feel ashamed. And I don't feel like I'm damaged goods.
Group therapy is different than individual therapy.
It's like a year's worth of individual therapy.
They fit together nicely.
The Healing is a Choice weekend is coming up January 20th. To register or to find out more, call today, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or log on to newlife.com.
I leave here with hope.
For the first time in 2 years, I am free.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEWLIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and I'm talking with Lana. Is that the right pronunciation of your name?
You got it. It's just like Donna, only with an L.
Okay. Lana, you came to the Healing is a Choice workshop July of 2011. What was your life like before you went?
It was fine. There was nothing wrong.
Okay.
I had no issues. All those things that, you know, I had worked through different things, and I really, you know, I listened to you guys talk about doing the next right thing,
mm-hmm.
You know, all those things. And I really didn't have a reason to go. I wasn't one of those people that when I heard the advertisement, I thought, oh, you know, I should go do this. There was like this underlying nagging inside of me, whether you call it, you know, the Holy Spirit or whether it was that small internal voice. But it was just like, you know, this is in Philadelphia. You don't have to pay airfare. You should go. You should at least find out about it. So I called. And they talked to me, and they told me this is what happens, and you pick a group. And I called 3 times, Steve, before I actually called with my charge card and said, okay, I'm going to do this.
Wow.
And I just didn't want to go. I had the justified resentment. There was the piece of me that I know that I have to listen to, because when I get that guidance, I know it's always bad news if I don't listen to it. So it's like, okay, you know, you got to listen to this. But I didn't really want it to go. And then I found out the cost, and I told my group the first night when I was there, I said, you know, I could have had a deck chair on some cruise for what I'm paying for this conference. And I sort of had to make a choice. Do I want the uncomfortable conference chair, or do I want the deck chair? Like, which one do I want to do? So throughout the whole time, I really wasn't interested in it, and I couldn't tell you why I went.
Okay,
now,
so
five months later.
Yeah, so now what is life like? Because you're one of the few people has no reason to go, and still doesn't want to be there. But what is life like now? Is it any different?
Yes, it is. I was in the group that they called Stuck. And again, I had resentment that you guys put me in a group called Stuck. But, you know, for me, Stuck is letting go. And what I didn't realize was all the things that I hadn't let go of or I needed to let go of. And you can't really move on until you let go. Mm-hmm. But if you're stuck and you're not letting go, you can't really move on. So I left a job that I shouldn't be in. I've left friends that I shouldn't have had in my life. Mm-hmm. I left a relationship that I knew after the first date I shouldn't be in. I got rid of 127 pairs of shoes.
Wow.
I had clutter in my soul. I had clutter in my closets. I had clutter everywhere. And I can't say it was a stick of dynamite. I'm sure that for some people that attend the conference, it's like a stick of dynamite for them. Mm. But for me, it was just this awareness of letting go. Hmm. And the group that I was in, you know, the first night, it was like there were eight of us, and it was like I knew these ladies had issues, and I knew how to fix their issues.
Of course you did.
But I couldn't
see my
own
issues.
You
signed up to be the co-therapist?
Mm.
Yeah, and you know, the therapists that you guys have at these conferences, I didn't know what they would be like, but we had Kathy Newton, who was wonderful. And I know that all of the counselors that come there, they all have a heart for your ministry. They're willing to give up time in their practice and their families to come there
and
to really help the people.
Well, Lana, not only did you go back and you decluttered your life, but you gave us a matching gift of $5,000, which was matched. And so essentially, I think, you know, you're responsible for $10,000. And we are so grateful. Mm-hmm. And I hope you get to take your cruise sometime.
I'm so glad that you shared your experience, because it really does speak to some people that might say, well, I want to go, but I don't know why I would go. You know, that think they have to have a bigger problem to go.
Right. Yeah, right.
I'm sure there are people that know why they need to go, and they have a clear mission in mind,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't. And it took me quite a while after I left to really understand that stuck equals letting go. Letting go equals stuck.
Mm. Okay.
And the women that were in my group, we all decided to continue and do the conference call. So we did the session of the conference calls and really stuck together.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I love that.
That's terrific.
Well, Lana, thank you. God bless you. Thanks for sharing this. Mm-hmm. And I know there are others who can connect with the clutter that's there in the soul and in the house.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be that way. And you don't have to be down and out or destitute or desperate. You can be like Lana. You go because something is tugging at you. We have one of these coming up January the 20th, and you find out about it by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. That's how simple it is. But one of the great things about Lana also is that she inspired someone else to give a matching gift, and it's a gift of $10,000. So even more. But here's the thing. It's for first-time givers. This person will match first-time givers up to $10,000. Now, I got to tell you, we've had a lot of first-time givers come along and help us out this year. Over 7,000 people have given to New Life for the first time this year.
That's incredible.
The year before it was it was only 4,000. So over 7,000, and that's kept us on the air. And now we need some people that have never given to step up and also give so it can be matched and we can get this 10,000. Would you do that?
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership and club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. As I said, we've got a $10,000 matching gift, and it'll be matched for all of the first-time givers that call in, and so many of you gave for the first time this year. And so if you haven't, between now and year end, we've got an opportunity. That's 4 days. So please call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com, especially if you've never given before. Let's go to Layla from New Holland, Pennsylvania, listens online. Hello, Layla.
Yes, hi. Happy New Year pre to
everyone. Yes,
yes.
Well, same
to
you. Same.
Yeah.
This is my issue, and please tell me. I know I talk very quickly, and if you need filler information, I can gladly give that as well.
Okay.
My husband has been going to Christian counseling since June of this year. Unfortunately, his dad passed away in June, and he started then. The counselor pretty much told him that he's dealing with some issue of pain, and my husband hasn't really alluded to what it may be, but that's what the two of them have been working through. On the 25th of October, I found that he had been viewing pornography, and long story short, he's been viewing before the marriage, maybe as a teenager. And I've seen bits and pieces throughout the marriage, but I kind of shrugged it off, so that's my fault. I didn't press with it, press through trying to find out an end-all. I thought it was just a guy thing. For Christmas, my sons were nice enough to gift him with the Kindle Fire. Now, the Kindle Fire, you can download, obviously, books and magazines of your choice. Pre-pornography is also available for them, and also it has Wi-Fi capabilities. Now, I expressed to my husband that it makes me very uncomfortable that he has that device. It was pretty much bittersweet. I'm glad that the guys got him such a nice gift, but it kind of feeds into his his issue. Now,
it's kind of like giving an alcoholic a beer hat.
Thank you. Now, we do have Stay Fies. We do have safe files. I did download that device on our computers about a month ago. So I thought we were doing okay with that. But, of course, now we're dealing with this issue. And I just want to hear from the group to get, moving forward, how do I address this issue?
Well, Layla, it sounds like you're concerned about the symptoms. Mm-hmm. And I think you've got to look at the issue and the addiction and deal with that. And if you deal with that, then the Kindle won't be a problem. And you don't have to go around and keep checking. You know, Safe Eyes is for somebody who wants to have safe eyes because there's always ways around those things. So that's where, you know, you've got to get him to an everyman's battle. And
if he's not willing to do that, then maybe the Kindle is the opportunity to say, well, would you agree with me that if you use pornography on this, that you'll go to everyman's battle? You're not saying you're not saying if I catch you using it, you're saying if you use it, which could mean he uses it and decides, okay, I used, now I need to go, or you blid catch him. But you say it from, if you use this for pornography, will you go get help? See, what he might want is, okay, if I use it for pornography, you can take it away from me. Well, you don't want to be the mother.
No.
Right, no. Or the police officer.
That's exactly right. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. That's the thought bubble going up. Right.
But you want him, you want him to agree with you that he needs help if this becomes a tool for his sex addiction, and that he'll get help if this Kindle Fire proves that you are not in control of this problem with just the counseling.
And is he agreeing that it's a problem, Layla?
Funny you should say that. We got the Safe Eyes tool, and he tells our pastor, and he professed to me, you know, hey, I'm not using. But I'm wondering if there's another outlet, because we're still not having any sexual relations, and it's been since the spring. So I'm really confused, and I'm trying to trust God. He knows about every man's battle, because a loving couple told us about it from our church, and the gentleman, the husband, has been to the conference, and it's been a miracle for him. And I mentioned it to my husband, and he says maybe.
Okay. Don't mention it.
Yeah.
Do what Steve said.
Yeah, I think that will work great for you. I hope so. And
I would like to see you feel more empowered, Layla. That this is not a man thing. This is the devil thing. Because
this is this is an addiction.
And what it also does is it destroys libido in terms of the human relationship, you know. And so the fact that you guys haven't had sex for 9 months is saying, you know, that's one of the consequences. And that's one of the consequences that nobody really talks about, because, you know, then that spoils the business, you know, the pornography business.
Right.
But it also, pornography also is a big boost for the Viagra business, because that's the way a lot of these guys, the only way they can perform after a while, because they're so used to the non-involved kind of sex that they don't know what to do when it's a human person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm glad that you called. I hope that that's helpful to you. And, you know, I'll ask you to look into, or we'll give you some information on Women in the Battle. That'll be coming up this year. Would be a big help to you. And, Dave, right on. Dealing with the symptom versus dealing with the conflict within the real problem, you want to deal with that.
That's what people do with addictions a lot of time. The other people, you know, let's just kind of control this and
let's just get
control.
You to stop the behavior instead of really looking at what's missing.
Anybody can stop for a while. It's getting into the recovery process that's important.
And having them really own the problem. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Tasha from Dallas, Texas. She listens online. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, Tasha.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I have a question. I don't really know how to phrase it. I'll just tell you a little bit about the background. in the last year or so, and I see that this has been something that's been building up with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say family, I'm talking about my parents. I have two older brothers and an older sister. And each one of my older brothers and sisters are married. But in the last year or so, the dynamics in our family has changed to the point where there is just always some type of dispute and strain, like we don't get together anymore, or if we do, there's always an argument. And,
did you get together over Christmas?
Yes, we got together over Christmas, and one of my sister-in-laws didn't show up, and so that caused some stress because my sister-in-law and my mother got into an argument this summer, and I guess she didn't want to come because of that argument over the summer. And so it's just created a huge strain for me and in my family, period. And I guess because right now I'm in the point in my life where I'm finally understanding who I am and having peace in my life, and just not having my family, which has been a really strong foundation for me. I'm just to the point where I just don't want to be around them, period.
Yeah. Well, Tasha, you need to fix these people. You need to work harder and bring peace and bring everybody together, and you guys, so you can sing Christmas carols next Christmas. Mm. No, you know I'm being sarcastic, because
yes, I do.
I'm really glad to hear that you're at a place where you're experiencing your own life, and you know you actually don't want to be around unhealthy people. It doesn't mean that you can't be around them at all, but it might mean that you spend less time than more time.
Yeah.
Well, or you don't become part of the conflict. You don't buy into it.
Don't take sides, and just don't let them hook you.
Don't give it any energy.
You know what really would be interesting, Tasha, is the next time you're all together and somebody starts some kind of an argument, you just say, "This is very painful for me, and so I'm leaving now." And
there
you just
you
leave.
Go.
Mm-hmm.
And because
well, that's a teacher.
Yeah,
because it's like you're not, you know, dumping on them. You're not playing a guilt trip on them. You're just saying, you know, you're being descriptive. This is painful for me. It really hurts me. And I'm going to have to leave now. And then you leave.
Okay.
And see what happens.
And okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking about just writing each one of them a letter just to let them know how it's affecting me, and I said affecting my nieces and nephews also.
Yeah, I would go ahead and do that.
Yeah,
and then,
but
and
don't
then,
expect that that's going to fix them.
No, that just puts it on record, and then the next time you're together and something happens, you say, you know, I wrote you a letter about this, and, you know, I'm leaving now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not, if you don't stop, I'm going to leave. It's, I'm leaving now, and you just leave. And
all right. I'm going to send you healing as a choice, because I think you need to grieve the loss of the family that you wish you had, and that's obviously, it's not them. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And we're talking with, actually, we're not talking to anybody, are we?
No, huh?
No, we're going to the
ready
next
for
one.
The next one.
Well, let me just mention that it is year end, and we want to go into the new year stronger than ever. And please, if you're working out where you're going to give here at year end, ask God if New Life might be the place. This is the place where lives are transformed. And if you are excited about transformation in people's lives, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com and become part of a giving family. And if you are a first-time giver, we'll have that gift matched up to $10,000. And so a new giver at $10 is really giving $20. So please pray and call us right now. 1-800, well, you can't pray and call us right now, but pray, and when you finish, call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go on the website at newlife.com. Let's talk to Robert from Plano, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hello, Robert.
Hey, guys. Wonderful program. I'm a new listener for about 2 weeks now.
Oh, welcome.
Can't get enough of it.
Good.
Thank you.
Just, I was told to be quick since I have a two-part story here, one being encouragement for anybody who's addicted to anything, I being addicted to many different drugs that you can count on more than hands and toes, as well as alcohol. There is hope. I attended my first church service about 2.5 years ago in Minnesota, wonderful congregation, Substance Church, that the preacher definitely was talking to me. I felt the Holy Spirit convict me. And even though I was high on methamphetamines, he was able to pull that disease out from me and show me that I am cradled in his arms. So anybody who's out there, please understand that there is hope to get out of it.
Amen.
The reason
Thank
I was given a call was because I have two children, a 7-year-old son and a 10-year-old daughter. My 7-year-old son, I wish I can say that he's an angel sent from heaven, but he's a little boy still, but he's wonderful. My daughter, I am having a little bit of difficulties with.
Okay, what's going on?
When it comes to behavior, she really tends to lock herself in her room. She's had a lot of problems in school, being called the bigger kid. She's not fat or anything, but she's definitely larger than her classmates, so she gets ridiculed quite a bit. On top of that, she shuts herself down, goes into her bedroom, just kind of crawls into a hole, sort of say, and doesn't want to have any connections outside. Any friends that she does make, she always pushes them away somehow to where they don't want to invite her in any longer. She's very disobedient to my wife. However, I'm not receiving any of those problems. Whenever I tell her to do something, she may have a little snark about it on her face, but she'll do it. Do you have any advice on what I can do to steer my daughter a little bit more in a forward direction instead of just kind of hiding away from all of this?
Well, you know, what's interesting, as I'm listening to you, Robert, you've been good at hiding away too all your life, haven't you, with drugs?
Mm.
And she's doing it in a different way.
Yeah.
And it might be really a positive thing for you to have a conversation with her about your struggle that you've had, and with letting her talk and really
really listening to her without trying to fix it. Just let her talk it out, and you might learn something in that says, and it sounds like you have a little more of an open relationship with her than her mom does, so it might be good for you to, you know, go to McDonald's and then just have a nice conversation.
Outside of the home,
yeah,
I think is always best. And sometimes even being engaged in some kind of activity, even if it's just walking or, you know, looking at things.
Sure, yeah. And I did that for the first time this past weekend. I had a daddy-daughter date.
Good.
And we hung out, had a great time, and she did seem to open up a little bit. Which is nice, very encouraging to hear you guys kind of in line to what others have been advising me to do.
Well, and as she goes through puberty, that relationship with you, you know, is really key in how she views herself with her peers and with the opposite sex.
Especially as she develops, you know, in puberty, like you said, it starts to develop that way. Your affirmation of her as a woman is so important.
And a lot of times dads pull back during that time because they think, oh, mom should handle this. Mm-hmm. But it's really good if you can stay consistently supportive of her and involved with her.
I fully agree with that. I'm a full proponent of the man being the key guider in those relationships, whether it's a boy or a girl. And my wife and myself have had this conversation to where I think now is definitely more of a crucial time for me to be more involved with her activities, her likes, and just let her know that I'm here for her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's good. I think that's real good.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody knows kids can be brutal, and little girls the way...
Especially little girls.
Oh, man. Yes. So she's not alone in that.
Well, and just be sure that you're not overlooking... you say she's big. I mean, just is she just big?
She's tall.
Or
she's tall.
She's tall. Okay.
Not outwardly large, but height-wise, she's about a foot and a half taller than the rest of her kids
got
in the class.
So they just haven't caught up to her yet.
I was that way in elementary and junior high, and I hated it.
Yeah.
And there was a short guy named Sammy, and I won't say his last name, but I just envied that guy because I want to hide, you know.
Until you get to high school, and he's still short, right?
Then he's still short, and the other kids have caught up with me. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but it's easier for him on an airplane, that's for sure. All right. Well, I'm glad you called, and let me send you a copy of Raising Great Kids.
And she'll be a great volleyball player when she gets to high school if she's that tall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
My wife wants her to play basketball, so I don't know about that one.
Either one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Glad you called, and I'll get that off to you, Raising Great Kids. Hey, we're just about out of time. You know it's year end, and if you are planning on or if you haven't planned on, we need your help to stay on the air. We want to get back into our television production. We've asked our television audience on some special programs to come along and to support this ministry so that we don't have to play reruns there. We want to reach them. We want to reach you, continue to reach you in your city. And the only way that we can do that is for you to give. And we know that this is the time of year that it determines all for next year. And we don't want to be limping into next year and then limping all year. We want to get this taken care of. And, you know, what we do here is we do a radio program to reach you, but also we do webinars, and we've got one of those coming up on January the 4th with Jill and Mylon on fear and anxiety and depression. And we do the weekends, like Healing is a Choice weekend. And we have a Christian Drug and Alcohol Treatment Center. And I just hope and pray that you want to see people transformed, or you want to hear this program or see this program enough that you would give, that you would listen to God if God is moving you. If you're a first-time giver, we really need you to come. If you've never given before and you give for the first time, we have a matching fund up to $10,000, and we would be so grateful to get that match. So a gift of $100 from a first-time giver is really $200. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. We do need your help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. newlifepodcast.com. See you next
time.
Thanks
for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.